So David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122. So we come in here fellowshipping together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and getting to listen to somebody who has lived what he's about to teach us, not just somebody who has heard what he's about to teach us. So let's just begin to speak in tongues and then tango, giving us the opportunity to fellowship and then to learn from one of the best people who can teach us on leadership and its principles. So let's lift our voice in tango. Amen. All right, so we do know that it is one thing to know something, and it's another thing to relay what you know to people in such a way that they are going to understand you, right? So just like Moses said to God that I don't know how to speak, and this was somebody who was raised in the fashion of a prince, but then he was assigned a task and he said, I don't know how I'm going to say this. So we are asking God that in as much as he knows what he's about to talk about, we are asking for utterance, so or wisdom to put it into a way that we are going to be able to relate and then receive and apply what he's going to teach us. So we're asking for utterance for the man of God. We'll begin to pray and ask God to give him utterance, even as he has given up himself to come and teach us. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we are praying. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with brethren. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to hear from somebody who has walked the principles of leadership and is still working them. We thank you that we are guided here to tap into his knowledge. We pray and we ask that you give him the utterance, and we know you listen to us whenever we pray. So we thank you for this year, and then we commit it into your hands. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Godfrey, for leading us in such a powerful session. Okay. So I'd like to introduce our pioneer and leader, Sir Nicholas. He's the pioneer leader of this vision that the Lord has given unto us or committed unto him, and for which we are serving under. So this is the war room, and we have various rooms or various church rooms on WhatsApp or subgroups headed by various pillars. As a people, we have a vision, or there's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And our vision is to get young people ready by what? Grooming them in the word and grooming them in prayer, so that their attention and focus will be on God and be ready for what's this outpouring at this time of our life. Ours is just to get you ready for to grow in a personal relationship with God. And we are so grateful that God has given us a leader who's committed, who has set himself out and aside to see this vision realized. So I'd like to hand over to St. Nicholas to do us the honors of introducing our guest speaker for today. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are very, very blessed to have one of God's choicest servants, Pastor Haydon, to come and grace this occasion. So I want you to pray right now, like in your heart, and thank God for the grace that God has bestowed on us, that we've been able to get Pastor Aidan. Let's just thank God right now. Let's open your mouth and just thank God right now. Let's open your mouth. For 1 minute, let's thank God. Let's thank God for Pastor Aidan. Okay. So, with much ado, Pastor Aidan is in our midst now. Let's clap for him. Let's welcome Pastor Aidan. Yeah, you are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome, sir.
Hey, good evening to all of us, and it's an honor to be here. First and foremost, before I say anything else, can we put our hands together for Jesus? And I want you to clap and mute yourself. Clap your hands for Jesus. We bless God for his presence, for his power, for his strength, and for his spirit in the atmosphere. Amen. Those of us who can show an emoji, you can show an emoji of your clap. Second is that I want us to celebrate the father of Nick, Reverend Ben Duhu, who is the spiritual force behind War Room Youth Ministry. God will always use a man, and we want to thank God for Reverend Ben Duhu. Amen. We bless God for his life, and we celebrate him. We thank God for the gift that he is to this generation, the body of Christ, and many generations to come. And then the last, but not the least, is that I want us to thank God for Nicholas Duhu, who is our president, our leader, our founder. Let's put our hands together and thank God for him as well. Amen. I bring you greetings from my father, Reverend Gideon Danso, Prophet Gideon Danso. He sends us his love and his blessing, and he released me to come and speak with you guys and share a few thoughts from God's word with you as we talk about leadership and service. Can all of us say after me, unless maybe you are outside in a space where it's difficult for you because of the noise on your background, but if you can hear me, please say after me. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father.
In the name of Jesus.
Father.
Heavenly Father. Tonight.
Tonight.
I am open.
I am open.
The Spirit of God.
To the Spirit of God.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
Speak to me.
Speak to me.
Speak to me.
To me.
Touch me.
Touch me.
Impart me.
Touch me.
Impart me.
Touch my generation.
Touch me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You are muted now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your children. We lift them up before you, Lord. We are not here because we want the enticing wisdom of man. We are not here because we don't have anything to do. We are not here because we want to be significant. We are here because we want to encounter you, Lord. We are here because we want to know more from you, Heavenly Father. So, Lord, let the heavens be open over us today.
Jesus.
Every voice, every power, every demon, every entity, contrary spirit, let the assignment, the authority, the assignment be broken over us in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered by God. Order our steps into revelation, into insight, into fresh grace and anointing. Thank you, Lord, that your heavens are open over us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to read a scripture from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 18. And I'm going to pick it from the New King James Version. So the New King James Version, the Bible says, "Then one of the servants answered and said, 'Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor. a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome man. The King James Version will tell us that he's a comely person. And NIV will tell us he's a fine-looking man. And then the last one is the Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. I want to talk to us today about the subject I've entitled Off the Charts. Off the Charts. And I want to just speak to us and pour out. I know I'm going to talk about leadership. I'm supposed to be speaking about leadership service and speak about submission, but this is a whole package. I believe it's going to bless all of us. Off the Charts. Dr. Nicholas Murray Butler, president or one of a past president of Columbia University, said that he divides the world into three parts. And I want you to hear me carefully. He said, there are those who make things happen. Dr. Murray said, there are those in this world who make things happen. They put everything they can to make things happen. Then there are those who watch things happening and those who don't know what's happening at all. So there are three kinds of people that he talks about. Those who make things happen, those who watch what's happening, and those who don't know what's happening at all. And to be a leader that is relevant for the cause of God, I want to introduce you to the former. The first one, a leader who God has called is the one who makes things happen. Why has God called me to be a leader? It's because there are things God wants to happen that God sees that I am the vessel through whom it can happen. And oh, how I pray for somebody that God will give you the grace that you'll be the leader that makes things happen. That God will empower you, that God will give you the strength, the capacity to be a leader who don't just see things happen, to be a leader who doesn't know what is happening spiritually, what God is doing, how God is affecting people, how God is touching our generation, but you be a leader who makes things happen, who go out of everywhere, who will not complain that other people are not doing their part, who want God to use you to make things happen. If you are like that leader today, can you lift your hands by using the emoji tool for me? Lift your hands. If you are a leader who wants to make things happen, just lift your hands. Give me that high five in the emoji. Thank God we have leaders who want to make things happen. We are leaders who want to make sure that things don't just happen around them. And I release that grace for everybody whose hand is lifted in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Means a leader who is in the center of God's will. When I talk about off the chart leadership, I mean a leader who first is in the center of God's will and two is beyond the standard of the normal world around him. The normal world around him does not control, does not limit, does not restrict the oppression of a leader who is off the chart. Why? Because he's in the center of God's will. God has not called you to be restricted by the environment around you. God has called you to go beyond your environment, to create things that are not within your environment, to do things that are beyond where you find yourself. Off the chart leaders are not waiting for the environment to respond to them. They are not waiting for the environment to dictate to them. They are not waiting for the people around them to tell them what they should do. They are not waiting for their followers to be the ones that determine how they execute the will of God. But they are leaders who are interested in making sure that so long as they have breath in them, everything that God has said to them is what will come to pass. And I want to encourage you that God is calling you today to be the off-the-chart leader. I want to invite you to offer the church leadership, a leadership that is not normal, a leader who is not restricted by the normal world, a leader who is not restricted by the people that you are leading, who is not restricted by your own physical abilities, but who prefers to be in the center of God's will than anything else. Because there are a lot of things that can restrict us as leaders. There are a lot of things. Sometimes our personality can restrict us. Some of us are quiet, and the quietness can stop you from reaching out and talking to people. Some of us have different kinds of deficiencies in us. When Moses saw the magnitude of God's assignment on him as an off-the-chart leader, he started saying, God, I don't know how to speak well. God, what if the people don't receive me? God, you know, I made a mistake some time ago. God said, cut the crap. And can I tell somebody under the sound of my voice that if you want to be an off-the-chart leader, it's time to cut the crap and come back to a leader who prefers to be in the center of God's will, a leader who is not all about pleasing people, a leader who is not afraid to be bold, who is not afraid of your age, who is not afraid of where you find yourself. It's time to cut the crap. It's time to cut it. Cut it. Tell somebody, cut it. Cut it from your life. Leadership. It's important to understand that God doesn't take leadership for granted. Why does God want me to be a leader? Because God doesn't take leadership for granted. In Genesis chapter 1 to 3, we see God reveal four things leadership does to the earth. In the first one, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Leadership brings order into chaos. Why does God need off-the-chart leadership? Because the first time God showed up as a leader, he brought order into chaos. Where there is no leadership, there is disorder. And wherever there is disorder, there is chaos and every form of confusion. Why has God called me to lead the person that he has assigned me to? Because without you, that person's life will be full of chaos. Why does God want me to lead my own life? Because without leadership, your life will be full of chaos and confusion. Where there is no leadership, there is disorder, there is chaos and confusion. The second reason why there is God wants us to be leaders is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. Why does God want me to be a leader? Why has God appointed me to be a leader? Because without leaders, there are breathless structures. We, a society that is systemized, it doesn't matter the system, the structure. It doesn't matter the different components that are there. Where there is no leadership, it is just a structure. Bible says that, and God formed man out of the ground. Man has structure. He had a form, but without leadership, there was no breath. What makes people alive? What will make World Youth Ministry alive? What will make the person you are living alive? What will make that Christian alive? What will make people alive? What will make you alive is when there is leadership. Leadership brings breath because leaders breathe into systems. Leaders bring life into people. Leaders cultivate the life of God. Leaders cause people to enjoy the life of God. Leaders cause people to encounter the life of God. Show me a leader that God has chosen, and I will show you a leader that brings life. And I pray for you that God's Spirit will come upon you, that you bring life into your family. You bring life into the group you are leading. You bring life into the cell you are leading. You bring life wherever you are. The life of God. Jesus, our ultimate leader, the head of the church, in John 10:10 said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come as a leader that ye may have life and have it in abundance. Where there is leadership, there is life. Where there is leadership, people walk alike. Show me a group of people who are not alive with the things of God. Show me a group of people who are not alive knowing God, alive in service to God, alive connected to God. And I will show you a group of people who are without a leader. Leaders bring life. Leaders bring life. Leaders bring life. God has put his breath inside you. I want to let you know that God has put his breath inside you. I want to let you know that God has put his breath inside you so that you can give life to the person. It doesn't matter who you are leading. It doesn't matter their perspective about you. If you can be stuck to God, life will be generated wherever you go to. And I'm talking about the God kind of life. Zoe, that life that can overcome anything, that life that can triumph over all, that life that it brings miracles, that life that produces excellence, that life that does the unusual thing. Let that life be dispensed through you. Leadership. Third thing is that leadership that first said the reason why God wants you to have leadership is because where there is no leadership, leadership brings order. Two, leadership brings life. Three, leadership, and I want you to hear me carefully. Leadership makes relevant connections possible. Leadership makes relevant connections possible. So in Genesis 2:18, the Bible says, God looked at man and he saw that the man was, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. Wherever there is leadership, people are able to receive help. People are able to have relevant connections. People are able to be connected to God. You are there as a leader to connect people to God. You are there as a leader to connect people to each other. Because the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 4:9, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9, the Bible says two are better than one. There are a lot of people who think they can do it, but not until they meet someone who can help them do it better. And a leader's assignment is to ensure that relevant connections, I'm not talking about connections that destroy ministries. I'm not talking about gossiping connections. I'm not talking about insulting connections. I'm not talking about carnal connections. I'm not talking about fornicating connections. I'm not talking about weak connections. I'm not talking about stubborn connections. I'm talking about connections that are relevant to the purpose of God. God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And God worked. God brought, formed beasts, and he brought them to Adam to see what he called them. And he found not. God worked tirelessly until he found a helper for Adam. Will you work tirelessly for your people? Can you be like God that you do one thing and it will look as if your people don't appreciate, but you do more? A lot of us, we give up easily. When God brought one animal to Adam, Adam said, I can't find companionship. And God said, I'll go back and work on it again. Can you be that leader that when Adam was sleeping, God was working? Can you when your people are sleeping? Can you be that leader that prays for your people, that takes people and you are praying for them when they are sleeping? And you are laboring for them. You are texting them. You are WhatsApping them. You are calling them when they decide not to show up for meetings. God is calling you as a leader who can work for your people when the Adam was asleep, but God was still working. Create something relevant for Adam. And God is calling you today to be that leader that is interested in working for people, whether they work with you or they work against you, you are working for them. Oh, how I pray for you that God will give you that grace in Jesus' precious name. The fourth thing is that leaders cover the nakedness of their people. Leaders, they cover the nakedness of their people. Leaders cover the nakedness of their people. Leaders deal with the nakedness of their people. In the Bible, nakedness means shame. Nakedness means weakness. Nakedness means failures. Nakedness means flaws. A leader should be one that is not just one that rebukes, he's also one that can cover. God said in the book of Ezekiel 16, verse 8, he said, when I pass over you again, I saw that you were naked and I covered you. But it was your time of love and I covered you. God wants leaders that know how to cover people. Enough of leaders who when their people tell them their weakness, they go and shame them outside. Enough of leaders who gossip about the weakness of their people. God did not call you to kill people. That people came to tell you that I did something, I went to fornicate, I went to smoke, and we are saying, you go to hell. Leaders must rebuke, but rebuke is not enough. You must correct by helping people to work with God. Don't be that leader that when people tell you their flaws, you broadcast it. Don't be that leader that all you are looking for is for people to fail. That's leaders. They want their people to fail so that it will prove how strong they are. I pray that may that not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Four things. Why God wants leadership is because in the absence of leadership, there is chaos. In the absence of leadership, there is no life. In the absence of God of the church leadership, there are no relevant relationships. In the absence of leadership, people shame people's weakness, people's past experiences, people's things are exposed. That is why, you see, because you are going to cover other people, that's why you need to get over your weakness. Because God allows you to have weakness so that you can bear with people. Too many leaders who don't know their weaknesses, they are not merciful. Bible says we do not have a high priest who does not know what you have been through. You must be a priest who has been through what the people have been through. I'm not saying stick with your weakness, but I'm saying that be that leader that your weaknesses don't stop you. You rise above your weakness and you are able to cover people because you understand that you too have been weak in some areas before. When you hear these things, when you hear these four reasons why God wants you to be a leader, straightforward, the question that I believe if I was the one listening, I'll be asking myself, how do I attain this level of leadership? How do I become a leader like this? God wants me to be the way he was. But how can I attain a leadership that God himself walked on? I am a mortal soul. I know the Spirit of God is in me, but I'm a mortal being. I am flesh and blood. I am too young. But if you are asking yourself that question, I want you to come with me to the book of John 14, verse 12. Jesus made a very positive statement there. John 14, 12, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. This is Jesus. And Jesus said, believe in me, and you will do the same thing I do. Believe in me, and you work these kind of works also. And I love this scripture so much because Jesus said, whatsoever I see my Father do, that's do as I. So if Jesus does what the Father does, and the Father's leadership is to bring order, is to bring life, is to cultivate relevant relationships, is to cover nakedness, then Jesus did the same thing, and Jesus expects you to do the same as well. And even greater. Jesus has called you to do greater things than this. Jesus has called you to do that. And that is, it is in the doing that the scripture I read to you from 1 Samuel 16, 18 comes to play. Pastor Ida, but you have not spoken about that scripture. Yes, that scripture comes into play. 1 Samuel 16, 18, it comes into play when we are talking about this kind of leadership. Why build up to be a leader that brings order, bring life? You need to look at the story of David. Because not that David was better than the rest of the leaders, but the qualities we see in David, they emerged after David was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Was anointed. When he was anointed, then these qualities came forth. earlier on in the same chapter, when David was anointed, then verse 18 comes to say that, and one of the servants said. So, do you know that what this scripture tells us, if it was a servant and it was not David himself who said, I am a son of Jesse, then it means that he was found. And it is critical that you must be found as a leader handling a cell. Too many leaders are interested in people, they making people find them, rather than they digging themselves in the work until they are found. Are you trying to put on a show so that people know that you are gifted? So that God has called you, you have capacity, or you are working in your assignment until God makes somebody find you? David was so focused on what God had called him to do until God himself came to look for him through Prophet Samuel. Can I tell you that God wants you to be found? Stop being in a rush. Stop trying to be who you are not. Stop pretending. Stop that excuse. Stop that lifestyle. Because God wants you to be found. When David was found, look at it. He didn't say that David has. He said, I know a son of Jesse. Look at it. I know. Can you give me the King James version? I know a son of Jesse, a Bethlehem, who is skillful. If you use the word is, then is means that he's not talking about giftedness. He's not talking about what David has. He's talking about who David is. Leaders who are followed are leaders who move from what they have to who they are. You are known as a leader not by what you have, but by who you are. Can I ask you right now, who are you? Type in the comment section, who are you? I want you to give me in the comment section, and I'm checking around, who are you as a leader? Who are you? Let me have your feedback, who are you? Because if you don't know who you are, you have nothing to give. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16, from verse 13, asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, some said you are Elijah, some say you are this, and he said, but who do you say that I am? And when Peter revealed, he said, flesh and blood has not revealed to you, but my Father in heaven. Jesus knew who he was so much that it was not about what people said. He knew who he was. And because of that, people didn't struggle to follow him. People don't follow leaders who don't know who they are. People are not connected. Why am I struggling as a leader? Because I don't know who I am. Leader, being called a leader is a title. But knowing who you are is a personality. God does not want leaders who are just title-oriented. He wants leaders who are identity-oriented. Who are you? What kind of a person are you? The Pharisees and Sadducees came to John the Baptist. They came to John the Baptist. In the book of John chapter 1, let me show you this scripture. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 22 said, then they said to him, who are you? Who are you? That we may tell those who sent us. Who are you? Who are you? A leader who does not know who he is. Nobody will follow him. Please hear me carefully. Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know what you have. The tools you have is as a result, it comes from the identity you have. Who are you? Who are you this morning? And John responded boldly and said, I am the voice of the one. Look at the next verse. Verse 23 says, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. I am. Can you, in one statement, tell me who you are? I know a lot of people, I'm not asking a rhetorical question. I'm asking you what to put in the comment section. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? I'm not talking about who a prophet said you are. I'm not talking about who somebody said you are. Who are you? Because you can't give what you don't have. People follow identity. People enjoy gifts. Hear me carefully. If you see every leader who has a lot of followers, it's because he knows his status. People enjoy giftings, but people follow identity. Nobody will follow you because you are gifted. Gifted people have great services in the area of their gifting. They can have great groups and great churches because they lack identity. When you know who you are, people don't just come and enjoy. They don't just come and take from you. People come and they are connected to you. Nobody followed Moses in the beginning. He was gifted as a soldier. He killed somebody for the children of Israel. But when he was running away, nobody followed him. But when he came back and he knew who he was, people followed him out of Egypt. If you want people to follow you, learn to know who God has made him. Identity. 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 And the first thing he said is that, I know a son of Jesse. Right there is a message. And maybe I might end here. Because there are seven things that are there. If I'm sharing all the seven, it's going to be, I know a son of Jesse. I know a son of Jesse. The first thing to know about leadership is that leaders are born. Leaders are born. Leaders are born. Leaders are born. And leaders are born when they are called. Leaders are born first and foremost when they are called. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29. You can go and read it. But the 29 says that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Can I tell you, humbly submit to you, that I know you think you are intelligent, but do you know why God chose you? Do you know why God called you? God called you, and the day he called you, you were born. Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom for those who are born. Jesus said, except a man is born of water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. And when you are in the kingdom, if you are in the kingdom today, hear me carefully, it's because you were born. And leaders are born. Leaders are born. And the way you are born is by being called. And look at the people God called, according to 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29, they are foolish. Which means that outside of who God has made you, a fool. I didn't say, the Bible said, I am a fool. I have no power to talk to you outside of who God has called me to be. Leaders are born. They are not called. Listen carefully. They are born through calling. Leaders are born, through calling. Secondly, leaders are nurtured through followership. If you don't have anybody to follow, there is no nurturing. And leaders who don't have anybody to follow are raw materials. They are never finished products. A leader that show me somebody who is a great leader, show someone who was first and foremost born. He was born by a calling and nurtured by followership. He has somebody to nurture him. He has somebody who helped him process the raw material of giftings, the raw material of identity into something that people can be attracted to and people can be stuck to. people, leaders who are born out of the blue moon, who cannot trace, who nurture them, are leaders who lead people to the ditch eventually. Leaders who can trace, who nurture them. Every leader, including Jesus himself, was nurtured by somebody. Jesus had parents, and Jesus was also schooled in the ministry of John the Baptist. Leaders must be nurtured through followership. Jesus said unto Peter, follow me and I will make you the fishers of men. Peter had the raw material. He was a fisherman. But following Jesus was turning him from being a fisherman to a man fisher. Hear me carefully. Leadership turns things around. When you are a follower, things are turned around in your life. Instead of being a fisherman, going after small things, you become a man fisher, coming after other human beings. Leaders are nurtured through followership. Who are you following? Are you following your gifting? Are you following yourself? Or you are following God and the leader God has given you? God will always give you people that you are supposed to follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 15 to 21 talks about you have countless guides, but not many fathers. People who lack fathers are people who lack source. And if you lack source, very soon you are going to starve. If you lack a source, your resources are going to be deficient and you are going to starve. Show me a leader who has run out of resources and I'll show you a leader who has no source. Leaders must have a source. If you don't know who and how to follow, you end up as a raw material. Peter was a raw material of a fisherman but became a fisher of men when he followed. Many people are not refined because they lack fathers. Who is your leader? Who is the one that you submitted to? God is a God of order. God, that's why even in the Godhead, God in three persons, they are one, but there's order. You have the Father, you have the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is order in the Godhead. Not that one is smaller than the other, but there's order. In the presence of order, people know where they belong naturally. Greatness is not because you are ahead of the pack. Greatness is because you know your placement in life. Not everybody is supposed to be the father. There can only be one father at a time. But there are sons. Do you know, when God called me by his grace, I was an agnostic. So I wanted to find a lot of ways to disqualify the call of God over my life. But the first thing I started looking for was a father. And there is one of our senior pastors with Prophet Gideon. His name is Pastor Samuel. He's my friend from childhood. I was talking to him and he spoke to me about his brother. And straightforward, I knew that I was supposed to submit. That was the turnaround for my life, my destiny. Because I caught a revelation of fatherhood. A father, when you have a father, you have somebody to imitate. And if you have somebody to imitate, eventually you become who God has called you to be. You lose your vision if you lose your honor for fathers. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it up and the young eagles will eat it. Are you visionless? Check fatherhood. Who have you submitted to? The centurion said, Lord, I understand that authority is delegated because I am a man under authority. I say to this one, go. I can say to this one, go, because I'm under authority. Under whose authority are you operating? We have a leader. And the more you change your mind about your leader, the more your destiny will change. Leadership starts when you know you are a son of Jesse. David was the son of Jesse. The reason why he was qualified for the blessing, said, God said, go to the Bethlehem, go to the house of Jesse. I have chosen for myself the next king there. So David's qualification was not because he was in a bush. His qualification was because he was the son of Jesse. God anointing, when he's looking for you, to first pass through your father before he gets to you. Jesus said, whatsoever I see my father do, Jesus is God. He's all powerful, but he said, whatever I see my father do, that's to us. You have a father. He's your leader. Thank God in this group, we have a leader. We must submit to that leader. I hope you are here with me. If you are here with me, can you give me a snapping of your finger? I want you to unmute it and give me a snapping of your finger. Give me a snapping of your finger.
We are here with you. We are here with you.
Yeah, we are here. We are here. We are here. We are here.
We are here with you.
Thank you. The son of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. Even when they wanted to disqualify David, he was so much of a son that no human being could stop him. Elijah wanted to be qualified Elisha, but the mandate of sonship did not stop him. Somebody had the capacity to see what Elisha was seeing as a servant because he was a son. Sonship opens you up to unusual things. Sonship is a biblical principle you can't take for granted. When I ask, who are you? I thought people were going to type, I'm the son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. A lot of people, nobody type. Because if you don't know whose son you are, you will not know the capacity you have. And if you don't know the capacity you have, you will disappoint in your leadership. I am a son of God. And the spiritual son of Prophet Gideon Danso. I am proud to have him as my father. Because, you know, in the kingdom of God, God gives types. All of us are not the same, but we flow in a certain stream. Let me explain that when I come to the Bethlehemite. Second one was that he was a Bethlehemite. He belonged to a group of people. He came from the people who are from Bethlehem. I know you know your father, but you know your brothers and sisters. Some of us don't have a problem seeing your leader. Many of us have a problem seeing your brothers and sisters. It is easy to respect your leader. Many don't know brotherhood and sisterhood because you don't matter how gifted you are, you don't have everything in yourself. You need a brother to teach you in some area. You need a sister to assist you. Nobody, it is said, is an island. Everyone must be associated with a group. If you walk alone, you will die on your own. It is said, isolation leads to elimination. Where there is loneliness, you wrestle. When Jacob was left alone, he began to wrestle. Thank God it was an angel. Not many of us are wrestling because we don't understand that we are of a group. We belong to the war room group. There is corporate anointing that comes upon us. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. Who are you gathered with? Who are you working with? Two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. Everyone must be associated with a group. We are all different, but we can be connected by purpose. Hear me carefully. Where we connect, what puts us together is purpose. Because purpose is multifaceted. That is why when Jesus spoke about the giftings of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 12, he started talking about the body. Because everyone is gifted in some area, but purpose is multifaceted. It has different components. And because of that, my gift can only be relevant in one phase of purpose for one room. But somebody's gift will be relevant in another area. And the I recognize that, the better it is for me. Purpose is multifaceted. Can you type, my purpose has many faces. My purpose has many faces. Another person too can type, our purpose has many faces. Type it in the comment section. Our purpose has many faces. Multifaceted. And I need somebody to rub off on me. Elijah would have died if he walked alone. You remember 1 Kings chapter 19? Can we go there? 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse number 16. No, first from verse 15. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Israel, Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimeholah shalt thou anoint to be thy prophet in thy room. Shall come to pass that whoever escaped the sword of Jezeel, Jehu slay. Him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Why are we competing among ourselves instead of cooperating and understanding that all of us we are relevant? Samantha is important for Sophia. Terry is important for Daniel. Zoom user is important for Terry, Hilda, Lizzie, Mohima, Nicholas, we are all important for each other. But we will know that until we start acknowledging that we are Bethlehemites. We are war room people. And can I tell you that you have to be proud of what God has given you? David was so proud of Bethlehem that people figured it out that Charlie, you can't describe David without talking about Bethlehem. He is a Bethlehemite. I belong to war room ministry. If you are not proud of what you have, nobody will celebrate you or celebrate what you have. Be proud as a child of God. Paul said, if I boast, I'm boasting in Christ Jesus. I believe in war room youth ministry. I believe I wear what I have. Now, Bethlehemite, find your pack. I went to a zoo in South Africa and I went to a lion's group. And I found out from the lions, when they were fighting, a fight broke between two groups of lions in different groups. And do you know what I found out? I found out that lions don't fight alone. They fight in packs. They fought in packs. Groups. Why should I find my pack? Because my root determines your fruit. Who you are rooted with determines the kind of fruit you bear. Where you are rooted determines whether you can grow and bear fruit or not. In Bethlehem, God put David there so that he can have the right climate to grow. Where you are planted determines whether you flourish or not. Now, let me tell you, you are not in this group because this group needs you. You are in this group because God, because you need it. There is, if all of us stop this group, God will raise different groups of people. Hear me carefully. If you think that you are so important that without you, God cannot do anything, it's a lie, because John the Baptist said, God is able to raise children unto Abraham from these stones. We are the one that need God. In him we live, we move and have our being. As you see, look at a lot of people in church and they say, oh, you, Pastor, do you need me? I say, I don't need you. Oh, do you need, why? Have I done anything? No, I don't need you. It is you that need what God has sent you to come. Now, please hear me carefully. If you don't have this nugget, you move around and you be misbehaving. And you lose what God has given you. Please, if God could descend in the form of a son to die to save humanity, do you think you have the capacity to stop God from reaching out to his people? Think about it. None of us, including me, today, if I did not sit in this seat, God would have brought somebody to sit here. I am grateful to God for the opportunity to be a part of this. I am not more important than the agenda of God. It is not God that needs me. It is me. I need God. Now, let me give you this illustration. I'm going to end here because of time. I have so many things. I have 5 more to share. But when I have another opportunity, I'll continue to share with you. I trust God that this has been a blessing to you. But a story is told by Leslie Flame in his amazing work, When the Saints Come Storming In. He said, some jokesters tell about the 3 churches situated at the same downtown intersection. I don't know, but I hope you know some downtown. When we talk about downtown, we are talking about where the action is. So downtown in Accra will be like Nima. Downtown, the ghetto, where the real WhatsApp takes place. And there were 3 churches in line up in the same intersection. And they used to sing, one congregation was saying, would there be any stars in my crown? Hear me again. One congregation will be singing, would there be any stars in my crown? My voice is not good, but I believe I could hear they would be singing like this. Would there be any stars in my crown? Oh God, I need some stars in my crown when I get to heaven. But another church congregation will also respond by singing, no, not one. The third group church were heard singing, oh, that will be glory for me. Where there is division, we don't earn anything. That's what the story is saying. One wants a crown, stars. Another is so jealous, is proclaiming, no, you don't have one. And the third is happy because none of us are going to have. But just imagine if these 3 churches come together and they are singing, there will be no doubt. Where we work together as a team, as a unit, I have a certain new initiative I share with you. I have a certain insight I give you. I'm learning more to help the group. I am proud of what has been given me. I appreciate what I've given. I'm not jealous of my brother's progress. I am happy and thankful for him. What happens is that eventually, we end up bearing fruit. Unlimited. I pray for you today that God will give you the grace to be off the charts as a leader. that you will pursue God's four purposes for leadership: to bring order, to bring life, to bring relevant connections, and to cover nakedness. You have the two weapons out of the seven weapons that I've shared. The two weapons out of the seven that I have to share. Two weapons. One, the son of Jesse, and two, the Bethlehemite. May God bless you. May God increase you. May God anoint you. May God's hand come upon you. May God's grace come upon you. Can you begin to speak in tongues with me wherever you find yourself? I hear and I sense a stirring in your spirit. God said, I'm stirring them up. So I want you to pray. That's what I'm telling you to pray in tongues, because as you are praying in tongues, your gifts are being stirred up. Some of us, you understand the vision for World Youth Ministry better. Some of us, a certain vision will come to you that you used to handle people. Some of us, certain giftings are going to be activated. Some of us, all of a sudden, you will start speaking unusually to people. When you talk to people, certain grace will come. There is an anointing that is being stirred up from here. I want you to speak in tongues wherever you are. As you are speaking in tongues, the thing is coming.
Amen.
Put your right hand on your belly. I want you to put your right hand on your belly. There are things I am sensing, but one of these days, God will make it possible and we all meet as leaders and I can empower you guys well. Connect with you, see you guys, and then empower you well. You need to be sharpened. So I recommend that Nick continue to have a lot of prayers with them, and you guys should enter into fastings to sharpen yourself. Because God is taking you guys on a dangerous route. A movement will be birthed. One of the prayers you people should be praying is that God should give you a visitation. Because when the visitation comes out of that, a movement will be birthed. World Youth Ministry will be a movement. touch different groups of people. It will hit streets. It will take streets to places for Christ. Now, La Moshika da Brakasuka Tabayas. Lil Kuzu Brakasu Breka do Shakranda Bayas. Lemro Kuzuka Brata Nabusheka Branda Basakatabra. Lekro Busheka Tabaya. Want to pray that God give us grace. Bible says with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. When grace falls upon you, you don't struggle. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Nevertheless, by his grace, I've labored more than he or nevertheless, not me, but by the grace of God. We want to pray that God will put grace on us, that you have grace to accomplish your work. Grace. None of us will finish our term of office or rule without making significant impact. And I want you to pray that God will give you greater grace. Please lift your voice and begin to pray right now.
La Pandoria, Le Padaya Dalaba Zikaros, Le Kaya Dalaba, Le Pandoria Dalaba, Le Padosha Dalaba, La Pandoria Dalaba, Le Papa Pandoria, Le Baku Shadalaba, La Pandoria Dalaba, Le Paya Dalabaze, Le Shadalabaze, Maku Shadalaba, Rantaya Dalabaze Kapados, Le Padoshi Libi, Le Vando Shadalaba, Raka Pandalaba, Le Padu Shadalaba.
Amen. I want us to pray. The last prayer. I want us to pray that God empty me for your glory. Empty me of myself for your glory. Empty me for your glory. Because the only vessels that could be filled were the vessels that were empty. And God is looking for people who are empty to do extraordinary things. You see, the reason why God likes young people like you and myself is because we are not filled with a lot of things. And God is even asking that empty yourself further. Empty yourself so that he can fill you. Empty yourself of your own wisdom, of your own intelligence, your own smartness, so that he can fill you. Holy Ghost right now. As your children lay their hands on themselves, anything that they have to be emptied of, I command it to come out from them now. Empty them of discouragement. Empty them of shame. Any weakness that has stayed in your people and is limiting them from being the children they are doing, let that weakness right now in the name of Jesus evaporate from their system. We pull out.
Change
right now. It is emptying time of the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit is touching you. I don't need. Sometimes we want people. We want to be touched. We don't need to be touched. Right now, the Holy Spirit is visiting you, and I want you to focus your mind on God right now, because the Holy Spirit is with you. That's why I'm sitting right now. I sense the power of God strongly. I sense the anointing of God strongly. I sense fire for some of us. God said he's pruning us and purging us from the world. For some of us, God is taking certain thoughts of limitation from us. For some of us, certain doubt is taking it from you. For some of us, he's taking certain fear from us. Some of us are even regretting your own life. God said he's purging his people for his assignment. I release angels right now to begin to work on God's people right now. Father, empty this vessel. Empty them right now. Holy Ghost, begin to empty them now in the name of Jesus. Empty them of pride. Empty them of fear. Empty them of shyness. Empty them of anger. empty them of anything that is making that will make them I pull it out from them now in the name of Jesus. I pull it out from them in the name of Jesus. I pull it out from them in the name of Jesus. Yes, let the angel in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Put your right hand on your forehead. Put your right hand on your head. I wish I could see you guys' your faces, but maybe next time that I get a opportunity, I can, then all of us will get to sit at proper location. I can see the face. Put your right hand on your forehead. Father, let there be fresh impartation now.
Amen.
As they lay hands on themselves, let their
hands
be transformed. This laptop to everybody that is connected here. Receive fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. Receive fresh touch
Amen.
Of the Holy
Ghost. Amen.
Receive fresh touch Amen. Of the Holy Ghost.
Be empowered.
Now sign in now. Name of Jesus. I pull fear from you. Doubt from you. Receive impartation. To lead the people of God. For the fourth time, for the fifth time, for the sixth time, for the seventh time, be empowered.
Amen.
See your sign. Let fresh oil come upon you.
Amen.
Amen.
Be full of zeal for this. I open you up.
Mm-hmm.
Assignment. Open you up to fulfill your assignment. I don't know if I should. Nick, God has given you new eyes.
Yes.
Different realm. Now, you're going to see very a different dimension. Now, you will have a confirmation of what I've said. Very soon.
Amen.
Realm. You are the one that the eagle came for.
God. Amen.
Now,
Amen.
The anointing to serve. We are going to serve. Your passion to serve is going to increase.
Amen.
God said he's placing his burden of service on you.
Jesus.
To serve his people, he's putting that burden upon you.
Amen.
All of you will be burdened to serve. It was like something put on your shoulders. And that was so heavy on you. Wherever you want to, you are willing to serve. Now, watch yourself serve God in a different dimension. Burden to serve has come upon you.
Yeah.
The last one is you're going to know things that will make you relevant to the people God has called you to.
In the name of Jesus.
He said he's going to give you wisdom to know things.
Amen.
Relevant to the people God has
called. Amen.
Be empowered by the Holy
Spirit. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please hear me carefully. If there was nothing in this group, prophet will lead me to come.
Amen.
My spiritual father is a prophet. And you will not send me where there is no purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If the purpose of God is not there, count us out. I came in the spirit of my father to let you people know there's something in this and this thing that you are doing. Don't wait until this group grows and you say, I used to be part of them. Because God will take it to a different dimension. So saw a mighty move of God, a mighty move of the Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
It was a gathering that the move of God was amazing. Nick, that is why we shouldn't be discouraged.
That's it.
This way, it's a mighty move of God. And you have to take everything God tells you serious and pursue it, regardless of who follows or doesn't follow.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Leaders chart the course. It is up to those who follow to determine whether they will be part of the destination or not.
Yes, sir.
Never will this group run out of people that will. I can see a troop of people, they are running. With their flag and they are running. God said he's giving you guys speed.
Amen.
Elevated the
version. Amen.
You are blessed. You are highly favored. The hand of God is surely and definitely upon all of you. Thank you very much for allowing me. And I'm thankful to God and trust God that you receive something to help you be great leaders to serve. God bless you.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you, sir.
Thank you very much.
God bless
God
you,
bless
sir.
God bless
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Let's quickly say a word of prayer for a man of God.
Okay.
Just 30 seconds speaking tongues. Say a word of prayer for
a man of God.
Spend time to
Amen.
My let's pray.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for what you've taught us today. We thank you for the life of your vessel to teach us and to show us the way to go about leadership. We thank you that you taught us about our identity. We ask that you help us to walk in the identity, even as we help people walk in their identity as well. Also, we thank you for what the man of God sacrificed to be here, and then we ask that you bless him, even as you said in your word that the laborers will not be denied their wages. So we ask that you replenish him, even as he has given him back unto us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.